This is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Psalm 139. That's Psalm chapter 139. And we're going to take a look at part two of Sanctity of Human Life Week. If you were with us last week, you know we started talking about the sanctity of human life, that you were born in the image of God, that you were created in the image of God, and that He thinks precious thoughts towards you, that He loves you, and you were created with the image of God in you. And so if you were with us last week and you heard that message, you know that God has a plan for you, and I'm going to continue in that vein today. The last week recently completed, there was a great march in Washington, D.C. 300,000 people marched to proclaim the sanctity of human life, to call for an end of abortion here in America. And so I just praise the Lord for those people. I ask the Lord to bless those people for their sacrifice, for their willingness to get out there in the cold and march in the streets of Washington, D.C. And I just pray that the powers that be, the people in Congress, the President, the Supreme Court justices would take notice and would honor their wishes, would honor their desires, would hear the cry of the people, would hear the cry as God hears the cry of the blood as it comes out from the ground, as God hears the cry of the blood as it has been shed, and 60 million, close to 60 million babies have been aborted and murdered here in this country in the last 40 years since 1973. And so we just ask the Lord to intercede, to use His strong, mighty hand to intercede in the affairs of this nation, to turn people's hearts back to Him, to turn people's hearts away from their wicked ways. And so God promises that if we cry out to Him, 2 Chronicles 7, if we cry out to Him, that He will hear our prayer if we turn from our wicked ways. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then the Lord says, I will hear their prayer and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And so we just take You at Your word, Father God. We thank You that You're going to hear our prayer and that You're going to heal our land. Well, again, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Psalm 139. I'm going to start in verse 13. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God knew you before you were born. God knew you. He says in Psalm 139, verse 13, for You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. Well, God knew you, brothers and sisters. He created you in His image. In Genesis 1:26, it said, let us create man in our image. Jesus was there beside Him, and through Him, and because of Him, and for Him, all things are made, and He holds all things together. And so God knew you even before you were born. Before you were born, He covered you in your mother's womb, and He said, I will praise You. The psalmist said, I will praise You, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And some of us have struggled with our images, and if that's you today, some of us have struggled with our dignity, our self-esteem, loving ourselves, and just loving who we are and who God made us to be, whether it's because of a skin color that may be different, or whether it may be because we've been bullied or ostracized in school or in work or whatever. And I just pray that if that's you today, that you would accept who you are, that you would thank the Lord for who you are, that you would give Him praise for who you are, and you would just say, Lord, I thank You for who I am, because I have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and You did not make a mistake when You made me, and I thank You because You made me in Your image. And then in verse 15, the psalmist says, my frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that is, in the womb, when I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16, Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. And so I'm going to repeat that verse 16 again. This is a very important verse. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so the psalmist tells us that God knew the number of your days, even before the first one of your days were lived out, even before you were born. God knew the number of your days. It says that he wrote them down in his book in heaven, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so God knew your days, and I just pray that you will live out your days and redeem the time. Whatever it is that God has for you to do, you will redeem the time. You'll make the most of your time, whether you're in prison or whether you're outside doing some vocation, or you're working in ministry, or you don't know yet what God has for you. You don't know yet what your calling is. I pray that you would just seek the Lord, seek his face, and he will be faithful and true to reveal to you what your calling is, why you're here on this earth, why he made you. And also, don't be speaking death curses over yourself. I know it's very popular nowadays for young people to play games on the internet when they try to predict the day of their death and try to say when they think, through divination, when they think their day of death will be. And if you're doing that, if you're playing those type of games on the internet, I ask you to stop. I ask you to repent of that. It's just divination is all it is trying to divine inner secrets about yourself. And so I just pray that you would not do that, because God has written in his book in heaven, he has written your name, and beside it he has written his ordained calling for you, his destiny for you, that which he has called you to do. And because of your ordained calling, no one can take that away from you, because that has been given to you by God and not by man. And so as you honor that, as you seek the Lord and seek his face and try to understand God's will for your life, when you move into that calling, when you move into that desire that he has for you, you will then be fulfilled. You will have joy. You'll find your greatest purpose and your greatest need and your greatest calling here on this earth is in working with the Lord, as in finding out what he has for you, what he has declared for you. Well, verse 17, God has very precious thoughts towards you, brother and sister. He believes that his word spoken over you will come to pass, and he has precious thoughts for you. God thinks precious thoughts in verse 17. He says, how precious are your thoughts towards me, O God? How great is the sum of them? And so God doesn't just think a few precious thoughts. He thinks many precious. All of his thoughts towards you are precious, and the sum of them is great. And verse 18, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. And so just as the sand of the seashore is uncountable, is unfathomable, even just in one little beach, there's more sand than any person could ever possibly ever start to count. And that is the number of thoughts that God has for you. He wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He wants to see you walk into that calling. He wants to see you walk into that place of destiny that he has ordained for you. Well, we're going to take a look at Jeremiah, the prophet in Jeremiah. If you have your Bible there, turn it over to Jeremiah, the first chapter. And Jeremiah was just a young man when God called him into the ministry. And God called Jeremiah, and he let Jeremiah know that this was no accident, that God had preordained Jeremiah's calling, just as he has preordained your calling. And so he let Jeremiah know in Jeremiah verse 4 in chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Well, sanctification is a big word, but what it means basically is that God has set you aside to do his work and to do his will. And just as he told Jeremiah, I have sanctified you, and before you were in the womb, before you were even formed in the womb, I knew you. And so God knows us even before we are conceived, even before that little cell and that egg receives the breath of life. God already knows us. He knows the beginning from the end, and all he has to do is blow on that cell or that egg, and it becomes a living soul, and that is what you are. God ordained your life. He blessed your life. He speaks precious words over you. And just as he told Jeremiah, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And so God gave Jeremiah his calling. It's one of the fivefold ministries, that being apostle and a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so God had chosen Jeremiah, just a young man at that time. He had chosen him to be a prophet to the nations, and he told Jeremiah, I have set you aside to do this. Well, I want you to know, brother and sister, you're not an accident. You are not a happenstance or any kind of a coincidence. Even if your circumstances on this earth have been very troubled and you have struggled and you have had curses spoken against you, or nothing seems to make sense for you in your natural life, I want you to know God loves you. He cares about you. He has ordained you to be something in his kingdom and to bring glory to him through your life. Well, God goes on to speak to Jeremiah because Jeremiah didn't want to receive his ordination. In verse 6, Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. And do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And so Jeremiah, even though he felt inconsequential, even though he felt like he wasn't up to the task, and none of us ever do when God calls us. I want you to know, if God is calling you today to do something, it is beyond what you're humanly capable of doing. If it was within your human capability, it would not be of God. God always calls us to a higher place. He always calls us into a calling and into an ordination that is higher than what we in the natural can think or imagine for ourselves. And it is to accomplish something in the glory realm, in the kingdom of God, beyond what we can accomplish in the natural that we can think of or do for ourselves. And if God is calling you today, I want you to pray about what God is calling you to do. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Lord, I'm willing to submit. If you say yes to it, you say, Lord, I'm willing to submit. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be your servant here on this earth. I want to redeem the time and bring glory and honor to your kingdom here on this earth. And if you will do that today, if you'll say, God, I just want to be a servant to you, God will reveal to you the calling that he has ordained you to be. And verse 9, God goes on then to show the ordination or to express the ordination in Jeremiah's life. Verse 9, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Well, you may not feel like you have been ordained as a prophet. You may not feel like that you have any great standing within the kingdom of God or within the kingdom of man, for that matter. You may just feel like you're a number out there in the ocean of humankind. But I want you to know, when you speak the words of God, I want you to know, when you move forward into the calling that God has for you, and when you move forward into that ordination, that you too will be given the words that God wants you to speak. You don't need to worry about the words that you're going to speak, nor you didn't need to worry about whether God will be with you to protect you and to be with you. In verse 8, he says, Do not be afraid of these people that I'm sending you to. I'm sending you to people that are not always going to receive what you have to say. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, people don't always receive what I have to say here on this radio broadcast. I received one time a 10-page letter from a person who had been listening to this radio broadcast, and they tore me up one side and down the other. They ripped everything that I had said for the last 2 years. They'd been listening for quite some time, but they ripped me up one side and down the other. It wasn't enough to write one or two pages. They wrote 10 pages showing me all of the errors of my teaching. But I want you to know, people are not always going to receive the words of God. In fact, in this post-Christian era that we live in here in America, many people are not going to receive the words of God. Many people are going to reject them. Many people's hearts have grown cold, and they have been entrapped in secular humanism, in false God religion, in idol worship, and in many other things. But I want you to know that when you speak the words of God, you are building up nations. When you are speaking the words of God, you are causing the righteousness of this nation to rise forth. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so when you speak the words of God, when you do the works that God has you to do to bring glory and honor to Him, you're building up this nation. You are bringing righteousness into this nation, wherever it is, in your workplace, in your ministry, in your schoolwork, however it is that you are doing your work for the kingdom. God is exalting you, and it's to bring glory and honor to Him, and you will bring this nation to a higher place. And so Jeremiah was given the encouragement by God, and God said to him, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth, and this day I have set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant." Well, I've had the privilege, beloved, of preaching in other countries where God has taken us to express His word and to declare and decree His word over whole nations and regions of nations. And I just praise the Lord for that God has shown me the power of His word. And when God puts His word in your mouth, listen carefully, when God puts His word in your mouth, that word has the same power as it does coming out of the mouth of the living God. That word has the same power if you believe, if you have faith. For that word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word has power, and it has power coming out of His mouth, and it has power coming out of your mouth to build up the nations and to tear down and to call into account people who are not living for the Lord. And that is the prophet's role, is to bring correction and to bring guidance and to bring instruction to those who are not living for the Lord. Well, I'm going to close in Jeremiah 7, and in verse 6, God tells the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah, He says, I'm going to start in verse 5, "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and you do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." And so as you think about your life today, as you think about God has given us this great land, the United States of America, God has given us this great land, the state of Kansas and the regions around here, I pray that we would not turn our backs and we would not oppress the stranger, and that we would execute righteous judgment between a man and his neighbor, and that we would not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and that we would not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods. And if we pledge to do that, if we pledge to uphold God's kingdom here in this place, in this region, if we do that and in this nation, God is going to keep us here in this place. He's going to bless us. He will protect us. He will keep our enemies at bay and keep them away from us. He will expose the plans of the enemy. But if we do not take care of the widows, if we do not take care of the orphans, if we continue to shed innocent blood and kill those in the womb, those who should be the safest of all people, those in their mother's womb, if we continue to kill and murder those in the womb and shed their blood on this land, God has no choice then but to judge this nation. God has no choice to bring into account the deeds, the unrighteous deeds, as we worship idols and as we sacrifice our children to the idols of convenience and reputation and sexual immorality. Well, I pray, brothers and sisters, this is a difficult message. It's a tough message to preach, and it's a tough one for this nation to hear, but they need to hear it. God has placed it in my heart to cry out this message every year, that we need to turn from our wicked ways, that we need to get back to Him, that we need to serve Him and honor Him, and we need to protect the innocents that are in their mother's womb. We need to stop all of this abortions of the innocents. We need to overturn the laws that allow free and easy access to abortion in this country. I've preached and ministered in countries where abortion is still illegal, and it is a blessing to be able to go into those countries and just see the joy, because every single person there, for the most part, every single person knows that they were loved and they were wanted and that they were allowed to be given life because their parents chose to give them life, and the government stands behind it. And so I long for the day here in the United States of America when we too can ban abortion, and we too can say to a mother that you will have your child, and we're going to bless you, and we're going to help you with that child. We're going to help you, and God will bless you, because that is His will, that child was given to you in the first place. Well, pray for this nation. Pray that the laws allowing free and easy access to abortion will be overturned, and pray for this nation that God will not allow our enemies to come in and execute judgment upon us before we get these laws overturned. Well, I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.